You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 13, a verse in the Bible that everybody knows, a verse that people who don't read the Bible know, a verse in the Bible that's had more refrigerator magnets made of it than any other verse in the Bible. I mean, signs painted, matted, framed. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, three things that will last forever. Help me out. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. People don't even read the Bible know that. When we read three things that will last forever, I say we probably ought to talk about that. That would probably be sermon worthy. When you read three things that last forever, do we have an understanding of faith, hope, and love in those three words in our life? The title of today's message is Faith, Hope, and Love. As we come in church, week in and week out, and weeks turn into months, months turn into years, we all go through, and all of us experience very difficult times in life. And when I say difficult times, there are times that are very difficult, and there are times that very difficult is a huge understatement with the hurt and the pain that you are going through. We experience times in our life that almost take us completely out. You just don't know. The pain, the internal pain, is indescribable of what you're going through. You experience a hurt that can't even be put into words. And we live there. I mean, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's not perfect. We live with not perfect people. And hurts and pains are so great you can't even put them into words. And here's what's unfair. While we personally are in one of those times, life seems to be very normal for everybody else. And we get mad. We just get mad. No one checked on me. No one came to visit me. No one came to see me. No one even called me. Now, you don't know what you wanted anybody to do if they did call you. If they did come to check on you, you don't know what, but you're just mad. You're mad not because nobody called you. You're just mad because of where you are. And so you're going to take it out on the church, and nobody called me and nobody checked on me. And then for you to be dealing with what you're dealing with and life just go on, it's unfair. It's just not right today. It's another Sunday. Band has led us in worship. Pastor's going to come up, preach a boring sermon. Hope he hurries. We'll dismiss. We'll all go out to eat. And I'm sitting here in more hurt than words can conceive. And nobody's asked me how I'm doing. And if they did, they didn't mean it. Oh, how are y'all doing? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, good. I'm fine. God bless you. And you're mad about it. I mean, you're sitting here mad because nobody cares. A year and a half ago, I had a back surgery. And for 2 months, I lived in a pain that was so intense. For 2 months, I sat in a chair with tears running down my cheeks. I hurt so bad. And I look outside and I see all that I need to be out there doing. And that led me into a fight and depression. Depression just wants to overtake you because of the pain that you're dealing with and your inability to go out and do what you need to be doing. And then you start fighting not only the physical pain, but you start fighting mental depression. And what makes you mad is life is normal for everybody else and no one really cares. I mean, for 2 months, this church went right on. It was finally better than it has been in a long time because I wasn't here. Well, how was church? Oh, boy, we had a great service this morning. I was mad. You know, I wanted to hear everybody came in, saw you weren't there, and they all got in their cars and left. They found out you weren't preaching. Everybody just got in their cars and left. That's what happened. It was horrible. It was embarrassing. Yeah, you know, nobody knows that I've missed church 3 weeks. I've been at home and nobody even knows that I've been gone 3 weeks. I mean, you're just mad. You sit here today in physical pain. Maybe you are here today in great emotional pain. A hurt from a loss of a loved one. There are people right here. We just go up and down the row. Loss of a child, loss of a parent, loss of a grandparent. Left a huge void in your life. Somebody, we go up and down the row. There are people here who had job loss that just crushed you. You've had a loss of respect in your family or in your home or in your situation that's hurt you. And life's just going on for everybody here this morning. Nobody cares about you. They really don't. Today, my right arm is in a sling. I can't do anything with my left hand, never have been able to do anything with my left hand. You ought to see me trying to brush my teeth. I've hit my eye, I poke toothbrush in my ear. I can't hardly get my teeth brushed with this left hand, and you don't care nothing about that. Three of you said, oh, how are you? And I said, fine, because I knew you didn't care, so I just lied. I've had surgery on my arm, and I'm throbbing right now, and I want you to know that, and I want you to feel, oh, sorry for me. The question I'm asking today is, how do each of us individually go on in the midst of what I'm dealing with that doesn't affect none of y'all? I don't know why I want all of you to just stop doing what you're doing because I hurt, but we do, and no one does, so you're mad about it. I don't want you to come up to the hospital to see me, but none of you did. Don't ever say, well, Pastor, you didn't come see me when I was sick. You ain't come to see me either. So let's just get that said, okay? I'm not coming to see you. I don't want you to see me. I'm hurting and I don't want company right now. But everybody in here, I don't care, 10, 12, or 13-year-olds, you've gone through some hurts in your life. David tells me in our camp of kids that have come up to him and at 10 years old and crying, and the hurt and the pain that they're dealing with is almost more than you can put in words. We've got 18, 20, 25 year olds, difficult time in life. What am I going to do, and what am I going to be, and how am I going to make it? And I mean, the hurts and the pains at 25 are just about more than you can emotionally bear. My goodness. Our 30, 40-year-olds that have kids and live in the home, and there's nobody that knows what you go through in the middle of the night and the hours you mothers are up and the difficulties and the hurts and the pains. When your child hurts and you're a mom, nobody can describe that pain that you're feeling right now. No, nobody can communicate that pain when your kid is hurting and you can't do anything about it. Our over 50s in here, all the emotional things that we're dealing with right now. I've never been in such an emotionally difficult time in life. For all of us, the physical things that we are dealing with. You know, I'm not completely over one surgery before I have to go have another surgery. I'm not completely over one ailment before he's prescribing me pills for another ailment. That's just where we are. The question I'm asking is, how do we deal with all of that? I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about you individually. I'm not talking about everybody in here because nobody in here knows what you're dealing with. I'm talking to you sitting right there in your chair, you by yourself individually. How do you deal? How do you handle? How do you cope? How do you pull the covers off of the bed and get up in the morning and try to make it? How do you get both feet on the floor and move on? Today, I want to tell you do so by faith, hope, and love. And those aren't three cute little words that need to be on a refrigerator magnet. That is the way we live. That is the way you live, and that is the way you put your feet on the floor in the morning, and you take the next step in the midst of a very, very difficult time in your personal life. A loss, a hurt, a pain that you're not sure you can take the next step forward. How do I get both feet on the floor and take that step? Three words: faith, hope, and love. Those have been made magnets for the refrigerator. They've been silk screened on t-shirts. They've been airbrushed on signs. They have been needle pointed. They've been crocheted and framed on mats. most people, whether they're even Bible readers or not, if you say faith, hope, and you stop, they can say the word love. Most all know that. We all know 1 Corinthians 13:13. But too often, we miss the point that this is not a refrigerator magnet, but this is the way you live. This is the way you live your life. How do we survive hard times in a fallen world, in an imperfect world, where people didn't say what they should have, they didn't handle it like they should have handled it, they didn't do what they should have done, and they said things they should have never said, and the hurt is like a dagger? How do you handle it? How do you handle it when the physical pain is more than you think you can go on with? How do you handle it when the emotional stress is so tight? Faith, hope, and love. I want to look at the first word, the word faith. The book of Habakkuk, the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians tells us the just shall live by faith. Faith is not a religious word. It's not a Sunday morning word. It's not a Sunday school word. It is a lifestyle. The just, those that are just, those have accepted the Lord and been made just, they've been justified before Him. You're all of us in here. We are the just. You live by faith. Faith is not a religious word. It's not a Sunday school word. It's not a description of what church you go to. Well, of what faith are you? Well, of what faith? It's the way you live your life. You live your life by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are not seen are eternal. We live a life of trusting God. We live our lives, our future, our needs by faith. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a farmer that is out putting seed on the ground. The life of faith is not one of laying on the couch doing nothing, letting God take care of you. That's not a life of faith. We're like a farmer. Each day we get up and we scatter seed. Each day we get up and scatter seed. How do you 24-year-olds in here make it? With all the uncertainties in your life, you get up and scatter seed. You get up and you scatter seed. You get up and you scatter seed. How do all of those in here over 60, how do we make it? We just keep on scattering seed. We just keep on scattering seed, sowing our seed. Mark chapter 4, 27 then is the key. The farmer works hard sowing seed. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and it grows, but he really doesn't understand how all that happens. We work hard sowing our seed, and then we live by faith, and God just meets my needs. The Lord just meets my needs. And I don't fully understand the blessed life that I'm living, but I'm just being blessed, and I'm sowing seed. And God is meeting our needs. So many things in life that I don't understand. I don't understand why. I don't understand why somebody who never goes to church didn't have a car wreck and somebody who went to church every Sunday of their whole life had a car wreck. I don't understand. I don't know why. Hey, this is a good man and he died of this. And this guy over here, he's a heathen. He didn't been sick a day in his life. I don't understand. I don't know what to tell you about all that. I don't know about why this happened. I don't know the reason for this happened. Here's what I'm telling you. You sow seed and you live by faith. You just sow seed and you live by faith, and in due season you reap a reward. So much about life in this fallen world. I don't know why it happened and how it happened, and I can't explain all that. All I know is I got to live by faith, moving forward and scattering my seed. You'll spend your whole life wanting to know why this happened. Or where was God when He let this happen? Or why didn't God do this? You spend your whole life doing all of that. Here's what I'm telling you today. God is good. God is for you. God is with you. And God loves you. Now trust Him and move forward. Trust Him and move forward. Faith is not a religious word for us today. It's the lifestyle of a Christian. You trust God. I don't know why. I don't understand. It seems very, very unfair to me as well. But trust God and you live by faith. God sees the beginning from the end. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is grace and mercy and love. Now, in my very limited mind, I can't begin to understand the beginning from the end and why this happened and what's... I can't begin to understand that. To me, it is unfair. That's why I got to each day live by faith. How do you put one foot in front of the other? You get out of bed, you put your feet on the floor, and you trust God. You trust God. How do I make it through the hard times? How do I make it through the bad times? How do I make it through the difficult times? Put your hand in God's hand, and you live by faith. Number two, hope. Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man can see, he can't hope for. Verse 25. We hope for what we cannot see, and we with patience wait for it. Psalms 78, 7. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles. Set your hope anew on God, and don't forget His miracles. When your hope is on God, you don't forget all of His miracles. And then when this happens in your life or that happens in your life, you know about His miraculous power and you put your faith in Him. I scatter seed and I let God bring the blessings. Terry and I, we personally, we've got money and land. We've got land for sale. We got money in houses that we sell. We've got money in cows. I've got a field full of heifers that are coming with their first calf that I plan on selling this fall. I bought horses, and I've got horses in training that I'm planning on selling for a whole lot more money than I paid for them. We got money in a savings account drawing interest, but my hope is not in any of that. My hope is not in any of that. If I wake up in the morning and the cattle prices have plummeted like they so often do, and the bottom is falling out of the cattle prices, I've gone many times out to my barn and looked over in a stall and saw a dead horse with all 4 feet sticking straight up that I paid a lot of money for. If something wipes out every horse I got and they all die, my trust is in God. I'm not looking for my cows to meet my needs. I'm not looking for a horse to do anything for me. I'm scattering seed. I'm scattering seed. And I'm buying this and I'm buying that and I'm buying this and I'm putting my money in that. And if all of that falls apart, God will bring a dog with a sack of money trotting down my lane and drop it on my doorpost. God will meet my needs. God will meet my needs. Regardless of what you read in the front page of the paper tomorrow and the investments and the interest rates and whatever happens, here's what you need to know. If you lose your job in the morning, God will give you a bigger one, a better one, a newer one. God is my need meter. Psalms 78, 7. Each generation shall set its hope anew on God and not forget His miracles. When Israel was backed up against the sea, Pharaoh's army was crashing in on them. There was no way out. God parted that water and made a way where there was no way. And God's people always are well taken care of. God's people are always seen through their difficult moments. Put your faith anew. Put your hope anew in God. You got to live by faith. You got to live by hope. Today your marriage is in a crisis. Your finances are in a crisis. Today you've got a crisis with your kids. Maybe today you're facing a health crisis and a bad doctor's report. Maybe today you're facing a job loss and a difficult situation. How do you go on? How do you go on? You put your hope anew in God and you don't forget His miracles. Don't forget His miracles. Oh, my husband will never change. Don't forget God's miracles. Don't forget God's miracles. Oh, my pain is up. But whoa, whoa. Don't forget God's miracles. Don't forget God's. The word hope in the dictionary means the feeling that what is wanted will happen. And I've got a feeling that what I want is going to happen for me. I've got that feeling. I've got that feeling. And my assurity of that is Romans 8, 28. Even those things that were meant for my destruction. God takes everything and some way, somehow, in His mighty power, turns that around and works something good in your life. If you've lived very long at all, you have either experienced it or seen a bad job loss happen for somebody and they turn around and get a better job than they had before, but they would have never had that job had this one not been taken away from them. Many times, things that were meant to ruin your life, God turns it around and brings something better than you had before. Today, in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your difficulty, and in the midst of your pain, number one, live by faith. Number two, put your hope anew in God. As a Christian, don't live like you don't know God.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my gosh, Tim, I don't know.
Don't live like you don't know God. Have faith. Have faith and have hope. The third word today is the word love. I can tell you for sure, without a doubt, there is no other one word that has more lost its meaning than the word love has today. In this self-centered, selfish, me generation, we don't have a clue of what it means to say, I love you. Today, it's only about what's in it for me. It's a self-fulfillment, a self-gratification. Today, I love you means I want to fulfill my wants. The Hebrew word for love, A-H-A-U, means I give. The Hebrew word for love means I give. I give. Teaching on this word, I read a Hebrew rabbi ask his students, do you love turkey on Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes.
I love turkey on Thanksgiving. And the rabbi said, oh, no. If you love turkey, you would not eat it. You would let it go. You actually love yourself more than you love turkey. What an understanding of the word love. What an understanding of the word love. John 3:16 is the essence of the word love. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. See, today, I love you means what is in it for me. And we hear it all the time. When a mate quits meeting my needs, then I'm out of here. See, it's just all about what we get out of this. When a church quit meeting my needs, when a job quits meeting my needs. See, love is finding a church that you can give yourself to, you can volunteer your time for, you can give your money to, you can give to. You're not looking for anything to get out of it. It's finding a church you can give to. I see the vision here. I see what we're doing, and I'm going to give myself to this. See, finding a man or a woman for you to marry is finding somebody you can give yourself to. You can give of your time and give of your efforts. You give your life to. You find a job that you give your time and your efforts and your abilities to, and you serve that and you give to that. It's not what's in it for me. To say I love turkey on Thanksgiving, that's not the word love, that is the word lust. The way you move forward in the midst of a crisis is love. Love means to give. And here's why love works, and here's why it is the greatest of all. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Here's why love is the greatest, and here's why love works. It's a principle that all of life works on. In giving, you receive. So when you give of yourself, that opens up the avenue for you to receive. When you begin to walk and live your life in love, then you position yourself daily to receive all that you're looking for. To love is to give. How do I make it in the midst of a crisis? How do I move forward in the midst of difficulties? You give yourself to others. And that opens the door for you to receive. Be consumed with giving, with serving, with helping others. Love, love, love. No matter what you're going through, give yourself for doing something for other people. How do I get out of bed in the morning and put my foot forward? Is because I need to go serve these people. I need to do this for these people. I need to make this happen for these people. I need to handle this for these people. I need to do this. You make yourself go when you don't want to go because you are operating in love. Love is the greatest because it opens the door for you to receive. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Regardless of the hurt, regardless of the loss, regardless of the disappointment, if you will love, it will turn your life around. Love your church. Love your family. Love your job. Love your spouse. Love your neighbor. See, love God. Give Him praise. Don't let your relationship with God or with the church or with your family or with your spouse or with your neighbors, don't let it be about what they can do for me. See, I'm lonely. Y'all help me. I can't do, so you come and help me. I need this, so will you come and get me? Will you come? What are you doing for other people? What are you doing for, are you sitting there in your loneliness waiting on somebody to come and pick you up, or are you going to pick somebody else up? Why is love the greatest? It's very simple. It gets your mind off of you and onto somebody else. It gets you thinking about somebody else. You get through your hurt and you get through your crisis, you get through your loneliness, you get through your despair by giving of yourself to other people. Instead of being lonely, instead of feeling sorry for yourself and you sitting and suffering, every day you cook for some other family and take the food to them. Every day you find somebody else that you can drive to their doctor's appointment. Every day you call somebody on the phone and you encourage them. You go and mow somebody else's yard. You ask a young mother that lives down the road from you, can I babysit for you one day a week and let you have some time to do what you need to do? See, the greatest is love. Come on Tuesday morning and help clean this building every Tuesday morning. Come and volunteer and help be a part of our volunteer staff. You know, if I sat around and all I thought about was how bad my shoulder hurt, how bad I feel, how I just can't do anything with my left hand, my situation would do nothing but get worse. My situation would do nothing but get worse. I mean, the week out of the hospital, I got lawnmower out. I held that thing, and I had my wife come and jerk the rope and get it started for me because I was going to mow this lawn. I'm going to mow this lawn because I can't sit there and cry and hurt any longer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to go down to that office, and I'm going to put in a day, and here's what I'm going to do. You can't sit around in your chair and cry and feel sorry for yourself and get better. You've got to put your mind on doing something for somebody else. Those days when all you want to do is sit in your chair and cry, those days all you want to do is go and pull the covers up over your head and just cry, you need to get dressed. You need to get out that door, and you need to go be a blessing to somebody else. I know you're hurting. Today I got a doctor's excuse to stay home. I could call in sick today. I got a doctor's excuse. I know you're hurting. You may have a doctor's excuse. Physically, some of you may be hurting. Today it may be emotionally where you're hurting. Some of you are in a deep, deep hurt right now. There are three steps to overcoming that. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, number one, quit asking why did this happen and why me and where were you, God, and how'd you let this happen to me? Live by faith. You live by faith and you trust God. Number two, fix your hope in God. Not hope in the world system, hope in God. God is always one. God is all, I'm 6,000 years of human history, God's always one. He's always one and I'm on His side. God wins. I'm on God's side, and I've got hope. I've got hope for my life. And number three, in the midst of your darkest hour, love. Be a blessing to somebody else, and think about doing something for somebody else besides just yourself. No matter what you're dealing with today, and all of us have come in here with difficulties and hurts and pains and losses, nobody else in here really knows how bad you're hurting or what you have really gone through. Make a shift in your life. Move your focus from what you're dealing with to each day make your focus living by faith, living in hope, and living in love. Y'all stand. Lord, today we give you praise. Come on, let's give Him praise all in this place. Come on, let's give Him praise. Lord, we give you praise for your word to us today. right now standing here. We live by faith. We set our hope anew in you, and we walk and live in love. Direct and guide us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.